And our team leading pastor asked me, can you please preach from woman's point of view? And I kind of thought to myself, do I usually preach from guys' point of view? You know, so I'm gonna try. But doesn't give you guys a reason to stop listening, because when we can all learn, and this is gonna be, I am gonna be preaching more from my point of view, but you can still listen and learn, okay? Just to let you know, this whole series, the Prison Break series, is not about prison. We're not glorifying prison. This series is about freedom. We just use the stage, and we have to talk about prison so people identify what is imprisoning them. Where are they captive? But this is about freedom. We don't want to make you feel like, oh, you're bad. We don't want to dwell on the bad. But we need to talk about the bad so you could get rid of the bad and become free. Free to live, free to be everything you are supposed to be in God. Free to do God's will. Amen? Prison. What is prison? In dictionary, it says a place or condition of captivity or unwanted restraint. A place in which individuals are physically confined and deprived of a range of personal freedoms. Basically, a place where you can't do everything you want to do. There's rules in prison, and you have to follow them. And most of those rules are not in your favor. You are deprived of your freedoms. In prison, you have to do what they tell you in prison. You can't do what you want to do, okay? That's not being free, not being able to do what you want to do. Some people know about it more than others, but I'm just saying that some people know. But let me tell you, we all know about prison. Although you might say, I've never been to prison, you all know about prison. You've all been in prison before by things. Fear is another prison, a very strong prison. If we talk about addictions, and addictions are prison, at least most people who are addicted, they know that they're addicted, and they, at times, they hate that addiction. They want to get out of it. Fear, though, a lot of people just don't recognize that they're in prison of fear. And so they live on through the whole life being in prison, thinking that they're free. Well, you may say, okay, you know, fear is a spiritual prison, yes. But I want to tell you that it's not. It's physical prison. Think about it like that. You make decisions in your life according to the fears that you have. So if you're afraid of water, you're free. You can say, I'm free to go. You know, like if all my friends are swimming and we're somewhere on the beach, I can go. No, you can't. You're afraid. And as much as your friends say, please come, but you're afraid, you have that fear that there's something in that water, or you're going to drown, or something's going to happen to you. As much as you want to, you can't. So tell me that's not physical. That's physical. You physically cannot go into the water because you're not free. You're afraid. If you're afraid of being failure, and that's a big fear for a lot of people, we don't do a lot of things because we're afraid to fail. You might have crazy creative ideas. You might have people telling you, like, this project, I trust you, I know you can do it. You will not do anything because you're afraid of failing it. Tell me that's not a physical prison. You want to, but you can't. You can't do it. Or anything, flying, you know, like, I know people who've been young and then got old and never went on an airplane because they were afraid of they're going to crash, hijackers, just the flight of heights. Tell me that's not physical. That you have to take buses for days to get somewhere when you could have gotten there in 2 hours. That's prison. That's prison. Today, though, I'm not going to talk about all those fears I just mentioned. That there's so many more, and Pastor preached awesome messages on the fears. And you can go newlifechurchsf.org, and there is under MP3s, you can listen to all of them. And there's great ones. You should. You're going to get released. They're really good messages. Today, I want to speak about one particular fear. The biggest fear we have in the United States is not of death. You know, like, different countries have different fears, and, like, death is a big threat for different countries, you know, where you live in a suicide bombing culture or, you know, different disease. People have to think about their, you know, about their life, about danger every single day. For us, not so much. You don't walk around every day thinking about, oh, I hope I'm not going to die. I need to be careful. The only thing you might think about death is when you're driving and somebody breaks right before you get, like, you know, all tight. Then you relax and you go like, oh. And then in your mind, there's a picture like how it could have happened if you did, you know, get into the accident. You can think about death then, or like when you hear somebody die or you get those thoughts, or when you hear somebody get sick, you know, you might think about it. But not regularly, not day to day. You're not going to think about it. We don't. We have a worst fear, though. We have a bigger fear to fight in the United States. The fear. The fear is to take risk and be yourself. The fear is to take risk and be just your old self, just free to be me, who I am. Every single day you wake up and you make decisions according to that fear. And I know you don't have to sit and look like, oh, I don't have that problem. I know. In our society, we are like that. There are standards we have to be like, we have to look like, we have to act like, we have to have friends. And so we're afraid to open up and just be just plain simple me. And if I'm not that cool, that's fine. If I'm cool, that's fine too. Now let me make something clear. I'm not talking about characteristics that contradict the Bible, that contradict fruit of the Spirit, the love, patience, peace. I'm not talking about that. There's going to be time when we're going to open the Bible and we're going to say, this is the fruit you have to have. And you have to have that. If you have God in your life, you have to have. You can't just say, well, Pastor, I am a very angry person, so thank you for releasing me. I'm just going to be like as angry as I can be, you know, like I'm going to be myself. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because if you have God on the inside of you, that anger is gonna disappear little by little. You're gonna get some patience. You're gonna get some self-control. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those things that you don't like about yourself that make you, you. Those things that you dislike about yourself and they make you the special you that you are. Can I be real with you? Can I open something up? Can I open a can? I am not a very emotional, like I'm not a very emotional person where I'm not gonna be like, I'll jump in screaming and like, you know, I'm not, but I do sometimes when I talk to people and I'm passionate about something, you know, I'm talking about or I love something or even if it's just a funny story, something happened and I was like really enjoying the moment that I'm telling you about, I can get tears in my eyes. Or like if I'm listening to somebody and I can, you know, like I can relate to them and I get, even if it's not a big deal, I can, for no reason, I can just start not crying, but just getting tears. And at a young age, I noticed that people look at me weird when I do that. You know, imagine like I'm talking and then nothing happened, everything is fine. I'm just telling somebody a story and I get tears in my eyes. And some people feel uncomfortable. Some people like look at me and I noticed that. And I started to really dislike that. And I decided, okay, I need a cover up. I need to cover that up. And you know what I did? I started to be sarcastic. Every single time I got that feeling coming on, every single time I felt my eyes watering, I had to say something, you know, like to break that, you know, to break that emotion. And so it got so deep and I hated it. I hated it. I would come home and because when you're not being yourself, when you're adopting something that's not of yourself, it's not you. You might be acting it. I was being sarcastic. I'm still sometimes sarcastic. I was really mean, really rude to people. I would come home, but my heart is still, you know, compassionate. But because I was covering it up with, you know, sarcasm, I would come home and I would be miserable. I would be like, how could I say that to him or to her? How could I be so mean? And I would be miserable day after day. But then I wouldn't know how to stop. When God started working on me, when he showed me that I'm being sarcastic just to cover up my, you know, my emotion, I wanted to stop, but I couldn't because I'm so used to the pattern. I'm so used to doing that every single time I feel that emotion. And after a while, you lose yourself. When you keep on doing something that's not you, this is not you, but then you go back here. Who am I? What do I like? What does make me happy? You don't know because you've been faking for so long. It's like this. It's like grabbing somebody else's luggage in the airport. Like, okay, imagine this. You have a huge, huge party to go to. Like, you planned for it. You bought tuxedo or a dress, you know, like, and earrings and everything. You were really excited about going to this party. You grabbed luggage from the airport. You go to your hotel room. You open it up. And there is stuff, you know, like that's not yours. Like, for example, if you're like a girl, you had like your prom dress or whatever in there, you opened it up and there is like this 300-pound, you know, Harley Davidson guy, you know, like there's his gloves and leather pants and, you know, you open it up. How would you feel? How would you feel? Because in the party you have to go to, it's like the next day. I need my stuff! You know, I need my lipstick. I need my stuff. I was ready and this is not my stuff, but I don't want it. Or like if a guy opened a suitcase and it was full of, you know, mom who has little kids and, you know, her bra and then, her, you know, little kids' bottles and different things. You would be like, what? You know, I need to run shopping, buy something quickly, do something. What would be crazy if you did like, okay, I guess I can work with this, you know. We can make it work. Yeah, let's see what I can do with this. No, that would be stupid. That would be dumb. You don't do that. But why do we do that in real life? Why do we get into somebody else's suitcase and try to live it out? So you cannot be truly happy until you start being yourself. You start just being yourself, however you are. An interesting story, Pastor, when we just opened the church, everybody who at least once preached, you know the pressure there is. If you lived 100 years ago, whatever you said, you know, from the Bible, if you came out and said grace, amazing grace, people would be like, you know, amen, hallelujah. But now we have so much deep word, good stuff. So there is competition. There is not competition. There's pressure for you to be good, you know, when you preach. And so when we started this church, he also wanted to be good. And so he had this favorite preacher, Eddie Long. And so he really, and it's okay to have favorite people, you know, but he would go to the point where he would even copy the way the guy speaks. So I watch on TV, I see like this black big man say, "Watch this." And then I see my little, you know, white boy husband, "Watch this." And then, you know, it went to the point where we had to buy him suits, you know. Doesn't look good on white man, that's it, you know. It's just some things you need to know, you know. But the interesting thing is, he was miserable. People liked it, you know. I mean, he was all trying to copy somebody else. But he was miserable. He was not happy because there was always this pressure. And every time he preached, every time, it was just not him. You know, it's good, but what good is it of it? I'm preaching, but it's not me. I'm repeating somebody else. I'm repeating their actions. And of course, he would do his own messages, but there would be so much of wanting to be like, just like that person. He thought he would be accepted if he was just like Eddie Long. But then one time, God said, don't. Be yourself. Be who you are. Stop wearing those suits. Stop talking like that. Just be and bring out whatever God already put on you. Bring it out and start preaching it. And the interesting thing is when he started preaching like himself, like just Alex, people liked it just as much. Some of them even said that it's even better because it's totally comes from you. You can say it's passion coming from within. But the most important thing, Pastor was so satisfied. I can't tell you how many times we were driving home and he told me, I'm so satisfied. It was all me. It was just God, what he put in me. I took it out. It was just God and me. It was nobody else. I didn't copy anybody else. That's what matters. Because as far as people, they might never even notice that you have changed so much. But you will know you'll be satisfied if you start being just who you are. We do things just because our friends do. We dance because our friends dance. There's this girl, I really loved what she said. She said, I hate extreme sports. I hate snowboarding. Snowboarding is fun for some people. Let them do it. Why would I do it? Just because to be friends with them? Just to stay a part of the, you know, like the whole gang thing? You know, everybody's going snowboarding. I'm going with them. Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to sit and sip coffee and enjoy myself. Because it's not for them. It's enjoyment. For me, it's not. Why would I do it? See? But a lot of you are sitting here, like, some of you are like, yeah, snowboarding. But some of you are like, really, I don't enjoy it that much either. You know, I guess, whatever, I don't enjoy it. You know, some of you would rather go shopping. But maybe some of you girls don't like to shop so much. There's so much going on about the girls. The girls like to shop and girls do this. And if you're a girl and you don't like to shop, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to sit and pretend like, oh, I'm just like everybody else. You know, I'm not into shopping so much. I'm not into that stuff. You know, I would rather read a book, you know, than shop. We say things we don't mean. Or we're being quiet because we're afraid to say what we really feel. But let me tell you something. You were created exactly the way you were created because this world needed exactly this person that God created you to be. And if you are trying to be somebody else, at least a little bit, you're robbing us. You're robbing the world out of you. God placed you into this world because he knew that some people around you will need you. And if you're not being yourself, if you're being a cheap copy of somebody else, you're just wasting our time. You're wasting your time, and you've wasted God's work. He was spending so much time creating you, and you wasted it. You're not using it. And to get out of this prison is so very easy, and it's so very hard. All you have to do is recognize that God, when he was creating you, he stopped everything. He focused on you, and he saw you. He imagined you the way you're going to be, the way the beautiful person that you're going to be. And he put everything the best. He put so much thought into it, and he made you perfect. And I can't lead you there. I can just tell you about my experiences. But you have to get close to God, and you have to tell him, God, please. Because I think we struggle with that, especially girls. We struggle with the worth, you know, am I worth something? I need to be this to be worth. If I'm just myself, it's not worth anything. What are you, giving a slap to God? slapping God in the face. He put everything in you, all His greatest, all His best, and you're saying it's not good enough. Psalms 139, it's a very, very beautiful psalm. Verse 13, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know fully that. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. How precious of me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." For a long time, I was very, very, didn't like a lot of things in myself. And was beating myself up, and you know, like, I hated my hair. I really hated my hair. I would get so many compliments. People would say, "Oh, I love your hair." And I would be like, "Oh, my hair is so ugly. You know, I wish they would be straight and this beautiful color. It's like a weird color and I just hate it." And then I hated my nose. And there was a lot of different things I hated about myself. And then God started to speak to me and He said, "Why? Why don't you like it? Did I mess up? Did I do something wrong? I made this with love. I made this for you. Special order, custom made for you." And I remember one day particularly when it all started, I got my hair down and in a salon, I got some very thick highlights and I came home and usually they straighten my hair and that day they didn't have time. So they said, "Let's just, you know, scrunch it and make it curly." And I'm like, "Ugh." And I came home and I, like usual, I was looking at my hair and I was like, "Man, you know, I wish it was straight. It would be so nice." And then God spoke to me. I was looking at myself in the mirror and I saw this perfect curl. It was the most perfect curl in the world. And I just sighed through God's eyes. I for a second got to see not just my hair, the hair that I don't like. I saw my hair through God's eyes. And I felt this love, this warm love that He put into that curl. And He said, "When I was creating that curl, this is the only curl is like that. There's nobody else in the world has a curl like that. And in a matter of fact, you don't have a curl like that on your other side of your head. This is perfectly custom made for you." And He said, "I put my fingers in your hair and I wrapped them around my fingers. And that's the reason your hair is curly like that. Nobody else in the world has hair like you do. This is your hair. This is when I saw you, I decided I'm going to give her this perfect hair that's going to match her." And then He started to talk to me about my nose and He said, "I spent so much time and so much effort to give you that nose. That's the perfect nose that you can have." And at that point, I was just sitting there on the mirror, you know, where you put your clothes and stuff. I was sitting there and I was just sobbing and He just started to talk to me about different parts of my body. And He just said, "This is me with love, the gift that I couldn't do any better. This is perfect. This is as much as I can do. And if you don't like it, you know, I'm sorry I didn't do good enough for you." And at that moment, I just felt so, I was like, "Jesus, it's enough. It's perfect. It's good. I love it. And He was working on me. He would, like, I would hear songs and I would know it's God. And I would hear people just say things, just crazy things out of nowhere. They wouldn't even know why they're saying, like, they're just, you know, and I would hear bits, you know, and I would know God is speaking to me. And there's one more moment. I was buying a hat. It was in the summertime. We were going somewhere with young people. And I was buying a hat for the sun or whatever. And I was standing there, and last year, the cowboy hats were really in style, and I was trying it on, and I was like, I did have that insecurity. We're a lot with young people. We spend a lot of time, well, used to spend a lot of time with you. And I wanted to look like, you know, younger. You know, I have kids and I need to look younger. And so I was standing there in front of the mirror, and I remember that. I'm looking at myself, and I can't say I like it, but it looks, you know, it looks fashionable. And then I hear this voice in the back. "Why are you trying to be somebody you're not? Why are you, this is not you." And I'm like, I turned around just to make sure somebody is there because that would be freaky, you know, but somebody was there. There was a lady and she just started talking to me. And I know that it was not her talking to me. It was God talking to me through her, just using her. And she just started to say that you're an intelligent woman. Why are you trying to be like a teenager again? You're past the stage. You need to go and reach out for something better, for something in the future, for something bigger. And she was talking to me, and I just have, you know, standing there, and I have 2 years, and she probably has no idea why I'm crying. But to me, this is my father speaking to me, building me up, saying, reach out for me, reach out for bigger, don't go back. You know, you were past that 16, it's a good stage, but thank God, it's all in the back. I'm free today. Of course, like, some of you may look at me, and you're like, you know, I mean, I want to lose weight, I do. But not because I'm insecure and like I need to look better. I want to be healthier, and I understand this is going to be good for me if I lose weight. But if I don't, I'm happy with myself. I'm good. The interesting thing, I know that losing weight is not going to make me happy, because when I was skinnier, I was not happy. And in fact, just to motivate myself a little bit, I put a picture of myself when we were on a honeymoon in my fridge. And every time I come back, you know, stop by the fridge, I'll, you know, open the fridge, I'll look at a picture, I'm like, ah, yeah, I'll get some water. But you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, why didn't I like myself back then? I did not. I hated my body back then. I hated how I looked. And now, I like, it would be so nice to look like that. Why couldn't I be happy? You know, why couldn't I be enjoy? I was, that moment was part of my life, and I did not enjoy that moment of my life. So today, I can tell you about it. And I can tell you, especially girls, you can be free from that. You can walk around and just be comfortable in your own skin. Not trying to be anybody else's skin. Listen to this. Chances are that already some people don't like you. So if you change and just become yourself, just start acting like, not pleasing people, but start acting just like you are. Chances are some people will like you more, and those who don't like you, well, who cares? And maybe that's the reason they don't like you, because you're so fake. Maybe they're going to start liking you more when you're going to become, you know, yourself. So I know it's possible. I know God wants you to be free. I know this is His desire. He does not want you to live in the prison. He wants you to be free, because that's the only time you can do what He wants you to do. Today, I just want to pray with you. Can I pray? And I don't really need music or anything. I just want you to look down deep inside of yourself. And I want you to see, what is it that you don't like about yourself you're trying to cover? What is it that the world is waiting from you? And you are pushing it away, and you are trying to cover it up. Open it up. Let it out. Let it be. Enjoy yourself. Be yourself.